Blog Talk Radio. Breaking down barriers, breaking through walls, breaking out of boundaries, breaking away from fear, break through radio.
This is V.
This is Volante.
And we're
B Squared.
All right. Hello and welcome to Conversations with the Diva. I'm Sabrina Williams and I am your host for tonight. Tonight we are talking about ADHD in adults and how that can affect your mental health, difficulty with jobs, hyperactivity, impulsive behaviors such as extremely fast driving, out of control driving, poor work or school performance, and low self-esteem. Today we're joined by Ms. Gorgeous Frazier, and soon to be Mr. Bernard E. Mason should be on the line with us. Gorgeous, are you there?
I'm here.
Bernard, are you there? Okay, well, we'll just keep the callers on hold. Okay, Gorgeous. So today, while we're going to talk about you for a few minutes, because, you know, I did the article in the Scene magazine, Chicago, Scene Las Vegas, Houston, and everywhere Scene is, because if you're here in Scene, you're somebody.
Yes. Yeah.
So what did you think about the article? Did it reflect you?
Absolutely. I really enjoyed it, and I really loved it, and I felt like it was exactly what I stood for and what I was trying to get across to everyone. So I definitely enjoyed the article.
Good. Now, in the article we were writing, we know you as a musician, but a lot of people don't realize that you actually work with young girls. Tell us about that.
Sure. I actually work for a few charities. One is Fashion for Purpose out of Long Island, New York. And what they try to do is raise money every year through fashion and entertainment opportunities to raise money for individuals who are transitioning from the foster and the, you know, the system and actually transitioning into adulthood. So they're looking for, you know, donors, sponsors to help them out, to actually help these individuals who are looking to go from the system into adulthood and get into college and actually assist with them transitioning into, you know, a different phase in their life. So I'm very highly involved with that.
Awesome. You know, and you also, like I said, you sing very well. But you're singing to me, because I know you from the Hilltop Radio Show, and Hilltop is a really good friend of ours both. And he actually brought you onto the show, and I love your music because it's deep. It just speaks. I know it's hard because music is music and it has words, but your music really speaks and impacts my heart. Have you heard people say that?
I have. You know, the thing about my music is that I like to actually speak about subjects and things that actually affect people. I feel like nowadays, especially with you know, the height of different types of music where there's no meaning, there's no background, I definitely like to make sure that anytime anyone turns on a song of mine or any music of mine, they're able to relate to it in any type of way. Even if you haven't went through the same thing exactly that I have, there's something right in the song that you can relate to very quickly, because everyone goes through ups and downs, and it's about figuring out how within yourself to get through those ups and downs and figure that out and really be able to triumphant, you know, beyond that. So I do get that a lot, and I really appreciate that.
Oh, and you know what's amazing about you is your age, is that, you know what, and a lot of people don't realize, you know, as we go into talking, there are kids that get put into the system, the foster care system, because of, you know, behaviors, and sometimes, but you didn't go into the foster care system because of behaviors or anything that had to do with not being able to control your impulse. You went in because of family relations were unstable and your mom had trouble taking care of you. Is that right?
It is. I actually, to be honest with you, and I'm very happy that you're actually doing a show about ADHD, because I was at a point actually, you know, diagnosed with that. Although it was a false diagnosis and I never had to use medication, it was because of the atmosphere that I was brought up with. I had a mother who was definitely addicted to drugs. I had a father who was very abusive due to his upbringing. So no one really knew what was going on or what my behaviors was about or where they came from. So I was automatically, you know, put into the stereotype of, okay, she has ADHD. And that wasn't, you know, the situation at all. And so, yes, my upbringing and the reason why I was put into foster care was because both of my parents was unfortunately unfit to take care of us at that point in time.
You know, it's interesting that you say, you know, they were trying to say you had ADHD. And that's funny because, you know, a lot of times people label what they don't understand as something else, and then people get misdiagnosed. And, you know, the sad thing is,
weren't ADHD or a child that would, hold on a second.
No problem.
In need. And that's interesting. So today when we talk about ADHD, we talk about how adults, like if they're not diagnosed at an early age, because most of the time young kids are diagnosed before the age of 12, but after 12, if they don't get diagnosed, then they start having problems in school, you know, their self-esteem is affected. But you didn't, and it's interesting because when I talked to you when I was doing the article, you didn't have any of those things that affected you. You had actually, you were able to get college scholarships, but they weren't given to you because you had moved so many times to foster homes.
Exactly. I actually was in, and not a lot of people know this, but I was in a special educational, I want to call it middle school, in about sixth or seventh grade. Again, that was due to the fact that I was diagnosed with that, but it was because, you know, the different classes that I was in wasn't challenging enough, but they weren't able to know me long enough to figure that out because I had moved so many times in those foster cares and those group homes, and I transitioned into so many different schools that when I went to that particular school, they had already moved me into, the special educational field. So definitely for me, in school, it was very hard because I moved. I had about, I want to say about 8 to 10 different middle schools in the ages of, you know, sixth grade to eighth. And then high school, I probably was in about 10 to 15 different high schools. So when I did get the information about college, I applied. I always was that type of person to be on top of everything. And like you did mention, I never got the information for the different scholarships. And when I did get approved and when I did, you know, get those congratulations letters, I wasn't able to get those because I was in those different group homes and those different, you know, foster homes.
Right, right. And you know what's interesting is that, hold on, because I think Bernard's on the line with us.
Sure.
Bernard, are you on the line with us?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Bernard. This is my friend, George Frazier. And
hi,
we also
Bernard.
Have another person that's calling from 313. Who's on the 3? There's two 313. Who's the other person calling from 313? Are you there? Well, we'll put them on. Bernard, you're 313-808, right?
Yes, I am.
Okay, we'll put the other person on hold. But now we're talking about tonight with Ms. Frazier, is, and Bernard, before we go on, why don't you tell us where you're calling from and what's your radio show and what you talk about? Because I think tonight really pertains to a lot of things that you're dealing with and you're trying to help in your industry.
Well, I am Mr. Real Talk 101 from Worldwide Call Radio. I'm from Detroit, Michigan. Here we talk about individuals that's making a change that don't get heard, that need to be heard. And we talk about things that we should, that we don't talk about, that we need to talk about. You know, like, for instance, the black-on-black crime was, a couple of weeks ago, was one of my topics, and that blew up the phone because the simple fact is, on the things that I'm seeing right now, so many of us want to march when one race want to kill one of us, but when it's black-on-black crime, it's free Pookie. And there's no march against those. So, yeah, we talk about things that we should talk about that we don't talk about.
Right, right. And, Bernard, you're always so gracious to allow me to come on your show on Saturdays from 5 to 7. Is that Central Standard Time?
Yes, yes.
5 to 7.
Anytime you want to get heard, I'm worldwide. I open up my station to anyone here on the air right now.
And it's an awesome show, and he does have a real talk. Tonight, Bernard, we're talking about, because a couple of months ago you were talking about, and you work with men in the community, and we were talking about attention deficit disorder and how if it's not diagnosed in early in life, that eventually it can lead to impulsive hyperactivity if the adults don't learn how to manage. So do you see sometime where men who have unstable relationships or poor work or school performance or low self-esteem, things like that?
Oh, yes. That's part of the reason why we have many young men today, happy hustlers and happy working men. You know, working 8 hours is kind of hard for them, but they prefer to hustle 24/7. That's not proper thinking. You know?
Right, exactly.
Sometimes our young men want it a fast way. That's part of the HDA, whatever you want to call that. But they, it's just they mind moving too fast. You know, it's something else they need. You know, they're smart enough, but they're not directed. You know, if they were directed at a young age, you know, by that structure, home, then, you know, they probably would have been out here in a different form. A lot of our young men don't have no direction. So when you don't have no direction, it's kind of hard for someone to keep you active. And once you stay active, and you know, what we see right now, the specialness of these kids right now, you know, they just need to be active. Their mind is moving. It moves fast, rapidly. You know, and so sometimes they get bored, so they do other things.
No, and you're absolutely right. And I think that sometimes, now, I'm not diagnosing or saying that every musician is ADHD, but I think music is a great way that it can actually hone in and calm down that ADHD. For some people, music, writing, poetry, you know, exercise. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I would agree. I would totally agree. It's therapeutic. Writing is therapeutic. And anything, you know, all music is, you know, poetry form. And when you utilize, you know, that pen and paper, you're putting your feelings and all your emotions right there.
Mm-hmm,
so
right.
It's another form of getting rid of it, but then doing it in another manner. I used to be a thug. I used to be out here real strong. One Detroit known gang members got shot one time, sold cocaine. And it took me one time. And once I picked up that pen, and once I was told by my parents what I could do if I put my mind to it, you know, it helped. It really did help. I got a book out of here. I got many plays I'm working on. You know, I'm doing a lot of things out here that versus than doing what I used to do.
Mm-hmm.
I completely agree with that as well, because at a young age, you know, I was diagnosed. However, you know, I was never put on any type of medication. But for me, definitely something challenging such as music, trying something new, writing, you know, picking up a new instrument is something that does definitely challenge you. But I think a lot of people are definitely misdiagnosed. There's sometimes where children are either in bad households, as I was, or, you know, they're completely bored, and it's not exactly ADHD. There's other issues that are going on that people nowadays are so easily to just say, okay, it's either ADD or ADHD, and they never really look into it as a full component. They just throw that out because it's now a term that everyone uses. So I think that's something that's going on definitely today as well. It's a term that everyone uses, so why not just throw that out, you know?
And you're absolutely right.
Right.
One of the that that we should be doing is if we think, say as an adult, if we think that we do have ADHD, some of the things you can do first is to, it's not self-diagnosing, but you can set yourself your own structure. You can say, okay, you know, I'm going to set a schedule, I'm going to have a calendar, I'm going to use Outlook. We use Outlook a lot at work. And set yourself structured. I'm going to do this at this time. If that works and that helps you, then maybe it wasn't. Maybe you just need to have structure. But if you're continually not being able to follow structure or say, and I didn't realize this, now I don't have ADHD because they already told me that because I went to, I just drive fast, okay? That's just a given. They do say that some people who drive fast that they have ADHD and they're out of control. I'm not out of control. I don't like traffic, and I don't like people bunched up on my backside. So I get away from traffic. I don't have ADHD. Now, people who have that need for speed, they say, that might be. But sometimes you can do natural ways. Sometimes it's your diet. It could be a diet. A lot. We have now more incorporated a lot more complex ingredients in food, preservatives. Sometimes that helps. I know my sons were diagnosed with ADHD when they were kids, and I said no, changed their diet, did other things for them, and also put them in sports, which helped a lot. Now, as I got older, one of my sons does have ADHD, but I don't like the medication, so we've kept him in sports for over 40 hours a week. We have a structure for him. He's on a really regimented eating plan, and it works really well. And because of that structure, he wants to be an Air Force pilot, and he will be because we've taught him that at the end of the day how to control his environment. Now, had we not done that, he could have been out of control, like Bernard said, and some of the young men that he experiences on the street. What do you guys think?
And is that the son that plays tennis?
Yeah, that's my son that plays tennis, Eli. Oh, it's actually Elisha, but as the mom, I cannot call him Elisha. I gave him the name. I have to call him Eli. I'm not for sure of that. I think I need to sell him. Gorgeous, you need a child. He's already 17, going to college. Just
well, see, that's definitely a different situation because tennis, again, it's, you know, his interest is being in physical and in sports. You have to find what's going to help him get into that regimen. And a lot of times, again, a lot of people throw out things and they say, okay, well, you're this and you're that and you're that. But it's because the person hasn't found the interest yet or the passion that they have or that certain situation that can help them out in this situation. People are so quick to throw out, okay, well, you have this. This is who you are. Here's the drugs you need. And you know what I mean? Like, this is exactly what you are instead of saying, okay, well, maybe you think about things differently. Maybe you like things differently. And there's definitely a distinct type of thinking and a distinct type of acting in different types of people who like different types of things. So with him, tennis worked for him. Keeping him on a schedule worked for him.
Gorgeous. That's funny how you said that you have to find what works for him because he went through basketball, and nobody take this as a racist comment, but he told me every black child doesn't want to be Kobe. He did not like basketball. Even though he was really good at it, he didn't like it. He didn't like boxing. He didn't like flag football, even though the mom was the coach. He didn't, but finally it came down to tennis.
and he has given his heart and soul. He's a great player. And because of it, he actually has offers from colleges. I mean, it's a really amazing thing, but it took a lot. What the interesting thing is, especially when you have a child that's diagnosed with any disorder or disease or anything like that, you have to step back and start looking at what's in the best interest of them or even an adult, mm-hmm. what's in their best interest. Because sometimes for adults, it could be they just need to get to exercise, okay? Maybe that's it. You don't know. But for him, for my son Eli, it's really amazing. And he's now on his own now. He's really into healthy eating, where sometimes he will – now, sometimes a little extreme because he threw out my beef the other day. People don't eat beef in our house, according to him. Well, in my house, we do not want to see Medea. But it's actually helped a lot for him. I mean, and you guys have friends, and you guys know kids or adults who seem like they're sort of kind of out of control. What do you guys observed, or what do you think works for them, or you've seen work for them?
You know, off of what you all are saying, it is so true. My brother, my little brother, is diagnosed. Well, I'm not going to say diagnosed. He was wrongly diagnosed. He was on medication. And I saw the effects that it done to him. And I didn't like it, how still he sat, how naughty he looked. Kids are not supposed to be sitting still. I'm sorry. I've never seen, kids are supposed to be active. I didn't like how he was just sitting there just still when other kids was playing. So I feel the medication that they're providing is not good medication anyway. Quiet as kept, the body reproduces itself. All it needs is love and attention. When we add this medication, there's always a side effect, and the side effects is what creates more. And we constantly putting this medication in our system. Now, I took my brother out with me for the whole weekend. I took him a couple of games, but then I ended up at the radio station. At the station is where everything changed. Everything. School grades went up. He loved radio. He's talking about getting into radio. He got on the air. He loved it. He wanted to go back more with me, but by he stands so far, I can't do it. But when I can, I do so. It's just like you say, it's something different that they need to keep their mind going that makes them think, that challenge them. When they have something challenging, because, you know, their minds move quick. Ours not moving quick. We're not moving all our, we're not utilizing our brains. Our brains are so powerful, we don't utilize all of them. They utilize more than we do. So we got to keep them active. And then when you keep them active, you got to keep the love. Love is the cure for everything. And that's what we lack today in our families, in the community, in society as a whole. And that's why we see so much sickness, so much death, so much hurt, and so much all of what we have right now. I promise you, when what I heard right now, it is so true. I'm a witness to it. My little brother, he's doing better in school. He's not what he used to be. He's taking up things right now, and he got it under control, you know, because he's doing things. He knows what he's doing, and I had to talk with him. It's just that attention they need. They need that love. You can't put no medication on a child, expect the medication to work, and you're not attending to them.
Yeah, because they're not a robot. You know what? And yeah, granted, there are some kids that do need the medication because it does help them. But on the other hand, love, structure, support, changing eating, sometimes for some kids, and I found this especially for my younger one who they said he was ADHD. He's not. He's just super smart. He couldn't be in regular school. We had to pull him out, and both my children are homeschooled, but we did that mainly for him because the child is off the chart smart. He gets his homework done in 2 hours and goes about his day. He doesn't like sports, but he likes computers and electronics, taking things apart. And again, if I would have went along with the school, I would have thought, oh, my child is ADHD. But when I talked to him, it wasn't that. How can you have ADHD and you're doing all your homework in 2 hours and everybody else at school is not done? That's not ADHD. That's just the school was trying to say. And again, for my kids, I don't know. I'm 50.
I don't know if anybody remembers this. Gorgeous, you don't remember this, but we always had more recess at school than sometime we did class time. We had class time, we learned, but even in high school we had time to get out of the classroom. Now it's just we're in the classroom. At college, it's like exercise is not a part of adults or children's life, and it has to be brought back and integrated.
Mm-hmm. And it's a lot of situations where it's repetitive teaching being taught, and it's a lot of the, like your son being done before the rest of them and yearning and waiting for that new question or that new thing to come out. And because the teacher is still going over, it's not that he has ADHD, it's not that he's special education, it's that he's gifted and he wants to be challenged, and he's moving at a higher pace than the rest of the class is being, you know, instructed. So here he is waiting for his chance and waiting, because that's exactly how I was. And I always got in trouble into school. We had a color coordinated situation where it was either you were green, yellow, orange, or red, and the red was bad. And I either always got an orange or a red because I was just bored with the constant questions and I was ready to move on. So automatically they go into, okay, your child has ADHD, and that's not the situation. It was, I was bored. You're asking me the same questions. I already know that answer. Let's move on to something else. But because that child has, 20 other people in the classroom, they necessarily can't cater to everyone in that specific class. So they try to put that term on you instead of saying, okay, wow, I see that she knows the answer. She's engaged. She's ready to work. He's ready to work. Let's try to maybe do some different things with these kids. Instead, it's, okay, she doesn't pay attention. She's talking to this one. You know, it's always straight to the negative instead of the positive. Wow. She got that answer within 2 minutes of me putting it up on the board, So I think it definitely comes down to that as well.
And you're absolutely right. And the thing is, you know what, I think tonight we really, you guys brought us some excellent points, Bernard, the love, and also Gorgeous, about that, you know what, you can't just put somebody in a box and expect them to fit that like everybody else does. You know, and one of the most important things for me is, as a parent and as a mom and as friends who actually some do have severe ADHD, is just letting them know that structure, love, and stability is the thing, and surrounding them with people who care and lifting up their self-esteem. I think that's really important. And we have about 2 minutes, so Gorgeous, I'm going to let you tell people where they can find you. And just so you guys know, Gorgeous is going to be a anytime special radio host on a co-host on me anytime she calls in, and she'll be in the future singing us a couple of songs. Would that be okay with you, Gorgeous?
Absolutely, I'm here whenever you need me. And social media, I'm available on Facebook at Gorgeous Frazier, FRAZIER. Instagram and Twitter, it's Gorgeous Music, MUZIC. And I appreciate you having me on. I'm here whenever you need me.
And so Gorgeous is going to be one of our regular Wednesday night call-ins whenever she can, and she and I will work on that. Bernard, Mr. Bernard Mason, as I call him, Jr., he's just awesome. He's an awesome radio co-brother, co-host, and he has so much to offer. He's a young man at 40, but he has wisdom of Moses at 180, as far as I'm concerned. I appreciate for what he's doing. Bernard, why don't you tell people where we can find you at as we go out tonight?
Yes, you can find me on Facebook. That's Bernard E. Mason, Jr., and I am the host of Detroit Talk, Mr. Real Talk 101, not the co-host. You can catch me there. And also, anytime you all want to come on my show, just get in contact with us, contact Sabrina. You can reach out to me on Facebook, and you'll have it. Well,
All right, you guys. Thank you for coming on, and thank you tonight for tuning in with Conversations with the Diva. Thank you for WBDN Media for sponsoring me. Hello to Hilltop Radio, one of our favorite shows. And we also just give a shout-out to Roy Jones Jr. Gym. We'll be there tomorrow morning live interviewing boxers. Thank you, guys. Have a good night. Be blessed. Bye-bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye. Have a good one. Thank you.
Thank you.